there is a universe of infinite possibility, and we are active co-creators in bringing about whatever's new in our lives. I've been talking for the last month or so about the importance of practicing. Practice makes practiced. Practice, practice, practice. And the whole idea behind that is that if what we mean is that your new life begins with a new thought, that it's done unto you as you believe, that we're creating our own experience, then what happens is we kind of come to the understanding that the experience that we're having is the one that we've been creating, and that if we want to be able to change the experience that we're having, we need to change the course of our thinking. And it's not that when you suddenly have a thought, I want you to not think about a purple elephant sitting in a living room. Do not think about a purple elephant sitting in a living room. Just keep that completely out of your mind right now. So of course, the way our minds work is in order to not think about it, you had to think about it because you were then ruling that out. Raise your hand if suddenly you find that there is a purple elephant in your living room. Wacky people. Not in your mind, actually sitting there munching on peanuts. And the fact of the matter is, it's not an instantaneous thing where we have a weird thought and then suddenly the weird thing happens immediately. It more often is the tendency of our thinking. When we tend to think along particular lines, then those are the things that tend to come into our experience. And that's where the importance of practice comes in. What we want to do is adjust the tendency of our thinking. We've done exercises with the rapid pace affirmations, and that being a wonderful way of dealing with the committee of voices that show up in our heads, going through the whole list of complaints or problems or difficulties or challenges or victim stories or whatever it is that we sometimes just talk about over and over and over again. So what we want to do is, instead of saying, I'm worthless, I'm broke, I'm lonely, I'm whatever else it happens to be, we want to change our story. I am worthwhile, I'm lovable, I'm important, I'm joyous, I am peaceful. And let that be the story that we tell ourselves over and over again. It's a really simple exercise. But when you get one of those, we have RPA cards for rapid pace affirmations that we hand out when we get together. You can write yourself a little list. What is it that you want to be telling yourself? What is it that you want to be reminding yourself on an ongoing basis? And get your own little list of 3 or 5 or 250 of the things that you want to be reminding yourself of. And then just go from in your head. Because if there's going to be a voice in your head talking, it might as well be a voice that's talking about what you want to have happen, the experience that you want to be having going on. Because there is a creative law. There's a creative law that always works. That's always working, whether it's for the things that we want, the things that we're desiring, the things that we're specifically intending or choosing, or it works when our thoughts are of doubt or of fear or of hesitation or of inadequacy. When we're thinking about that, the law works just like was described in the reading, like a mirror, to bring that new experience into our lives. So we get to choose how we're going to work it. And you will forgive me that a bald guy is doing a talk that's called Lather, Rinse, Repeat, which is the instructions that are on the bottle of shampoo. And that's just as a reminder that this is not a one-and-done thing. It's not the sort of thing where you can say, I'm going to change my thinking on Tuesday morning, and then the rest of my life is going to go in a completely different direction than it's been going up until Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning is great, but keep going. Keep at it. Keep fine-tuning. Even if that magical transformation happens in your life instantaneously, you go from being alone and wanting a relationship, you do this affirmation, I have a perfect, wonderful, loving relationship, and you meet somebody that morning. Don't stop practicing. Don't stop then. Continue to invite new experiences about the tone and the texture and the flavor of what it is that you're inviting into your life. Maybe it's along different lines. Maybe it seems like your relationship is now taken care of and you don't need to bring that into your prayer anymore. Fine. Then make the prayers, make the intentions, make the practice be about your joy and happiness, about your health and vitality, about your prosperity, about your ability to share your gifts and your creativity with the world around you, about being able to uplift yourself and other people, about being able to tell your story about finding love in a way that resonates with other folks so that they can be assisted in finding love in their life as well. Let the tendency of your thinking be towards the things that you want to have happening in your life. Sometimes I describe that as a ship, and the ship has a rudder and the big steering wheel, and you turn the wheel and it moves the rudder, and very, very slowly the course of the ship starts to change. It's not like a sports car. The bigger the ship is, the longer it takes for it to turn. And if your life, you feel like you've been turning the wheel and nothing's happening, then you need to keep at it. Don't spin the wheel back in the other direction and say this isn't working or there's something wrong with the law. We need to work it. It is the tendency of your thinking. I find myself fortunate at this point that I get to go to spiritual practice a lot. I've been doing a 15-minute daily meditation first thing in the morning, and I've been using Insight Timer, and it's counting the days that I meditate. And I'm up to like 1,250 days in a row of doing this meditation. So I've been doing this for years and years and years. And that's a wonderful way to start my day. And then when the lockdown started in March, coming up on 2 years ago, we started doing twice a day meditations on Zoom. So I get to do another meditation at 8, and then another meditation at 6 that night. And we get to do the Sunday celebrations, and I get all of the spiritual practice that we have in the classes that we're teaching. I'm currently teaching 2 classes every week. And I have a practitioner, partner, who I get to do a session with once a week. And I have clients who I get to do practical prayer and spiritual practice with. And I have a mastermind group that I meet with. And I get to do this a lot. And there's still room that I hear in my mind, the voices going back into those negative circles and cycles and complaining about stuff. And I get to practice. And the biggest part of the practice, and I learned this interestingly from the podcast, doing the Practical Prayer podcast. The biggest thing that we have to do in our spiritual practice is stop blaming God. The creator of our life is us. I mean, God is creating our life, but God's creating everything. And the way that our lives are showing up is a direct impress of the tendency of our thinking. And it's really big, especially in other religions, to say, well, God didn't want me to have this. Or God has prevented this from happening. Or God has a plan for me, so I have to do something that I don't want to do. And that's not true. I mean, it's true to the extent that as soon as we put our power in an outside entity or force and give it control over our lives, then whatever happens, it's God doing it, but we gave God the keys to the car and the car is now riding down the hill. So we are always free to take accountability for our lives. We're authoring our lives. We have the authority to create whatever it is that we want by adjusting the tendency of our thinking. And then we're accountable for whatever that thinking has brought into our lives. And the creative law of the universe, the one that we're using to create everything, is just another natural law. I mean, that natural laws are principles. They're always working. And I love using the law of gravity, because everybody knows what gravity is. Everybody can kind of describe gravity, but nobody's ever seen it. You've seen the effects of gravity. You've seen gymnasts who can do things in their interactions with gravity that I can't do. They make it look amazing. People on trapezes are using gravity and momentum and other physical laws to do things that are terrifying and exciting and fun and thrilling that I don't know how to do. Even with juggling, I think juggling is a skill that is entertainment. It's actually the art of catching things. Now, there's also an art to throwing them to be in a position where you're able to catch them. But juggling is the art of catching things. If you take all the juggling tools, you know, whether it's going to be the dishes or the rings or the bowling balls or whatever it is, and you throw them just the way a juggler does, but you don't catch them, you will notice very quickly that's not juggling. That's just throwing stuff around. So juggling is the art of catching things. And the practice of somebody learning how to juggle is about doing it, trying it, then doing it again, then doing it again, then doing it again. Some number of years ago, somebody gave me a little kit, with three bean bags and the instructions on juggling. And the first lesson in the instructions on juggling is to take one of the bean bags and drop it. And then pick it up and drop it again. And keep on just dropping it on the floor until that's no longer entertaining or interesting. And the idea was get that out of your system, because that's going to happen, so stop thinking about that being a problem. That's just part of it. And the first step is to let go of the attachment to, I can't drop this. Because in the art of learning to juggle, the practice of learning to juggle, the thing that we need to do is be willing to try and be willing to drop things. And it happens in all sorts of things. I, as you probably know, I have a yoga practice. Somewhere between 4 and 7 times a week, I'm doing yoga. And one of the moves in yoga, you're familiar with downward facing dog, hands and feet on the ground with your tush sticking up in the air. And then to move into forward fold, where you're standing at the top of the mat with your feet and your hands kind of touching the mat at the same spot. And the way the yoga instructors phrase that in down dog is to bend your knees, look to the front of the mat, and then walk or float to the top of your mat. Float, float to the top of my mat. Well, on a good day, I can kind of jump to the top of the mat, and the landing is somewhat noisy. A lot of times, I just walk. It's a leisurely stroll as I walk my feet up to where my hands are. The idea behind floating to the top of the mat is that for somebody who has practiced and has the core strength to do it, it's about jumping far enough forward to change the center of balance, the center of gravity, and then slowly move the feet up so that they're next to the hands. It is a wonderful, graceful, delightful thing to watch. I have no direct experience on what it feels like to do because I don't have the resources to be able to do that. If I wanted to, I could. How? Practice. Practice, practice, practice. Just continue to do it. Some number of years ago, one of the other moves is to go into a plank position and then go into a low plank, like into a push-up. For me, for years, that was just sort of like collapsing on the floor. Between my core strength and my upper body strength, I just didn't have enough. My body weight at that time, it was just lower a little bit and then clomp. And through practice, I've now gotten to the point where I can lower and just sort of pay attention to what's going on around me. Let's move this one down and stay in that low plank, low push-up position for as long as I want to. And it's different experience. I still don't have the ability to float instead of walking to the top of the mat. There's other stuff in yoga that I can't do either. But by practicing, by putting my mind to it, by opening myself up to the possibility of being able to do something tomorrow that I wasn't able to do yesterday, or maybe be able to do it today that I wasn't able to do yesterday, by not blaming some force outside of myself for making me unable to walk or float to the top of the mat, I can own it. I can own, this is where I am in this situation. This is my step on the path. And let that be my opportunity to take another step along the path. And we've all got those things going on. I mean, we're all on a path. We're on a path stepping through our lives, going from an experience to another experience to another experience. And the question If your life were going according to your dreams, as well as you could possibly imagine, what would it be going like? And if you know exactly what that would be, you got the list of the 35 things that would make your life just deliriously happy. Great. And if you answer that question and you say, well, I wouldn't have this and I wouldn't have that and I wouldn't have the other thing. As Breen was talking about it, my shoulder wouldn't hurt and my knee wouldn't be sore. But when those things happen, you really have to pay attention and notice, oh, my body feels pretty good today. Those things that used to be achy or sore or challenging or difficult are back into that experience of harmony. And we don't do that. If we're focused on the stuff that hurts, if we're focused on the things that are painful, then according to the law, the tendency of our thinking is towards those things, we tend to get more of those things. So look at what you're thinking about. Look at what you're looking at and make it a practice. If you're looking towards what you consider to be negative, then practice pivoting and turning towards what you desire instead. And if you think those things are far off and they're being held from you because you haven't earned the right to them, then practice letting go of that. It's not true. It is an infinite universe filled with immeasurable good. And we are each of us conscious co-creators. We are able, not just able, we are creating our experience according to our beliefs. So believe in yourself. Choose those things that you want to invite into your life. Let the other things fall away and open to your good. And don't expect to happen. It's going to happen all at once. Start, practice, lather, rinse, repeat. Because you deserve it. So it is.